Hey kid, you looking for answers? Wrong stop. But if you're into messy stories about addiction, mental health, and the side of life that no one else wants to discuss, come, stay a while. This is Malfunction Junction. I'm Andrew. That's Jay. We're just two guys trying to figure some shit out before the next bus rolls in. Sit tight. Might get weird. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction.
Thank you for joining us.
This is Andrew.
This is Jay.
How's everybody doing today? Jay, how's it going with you?
Pretty solid. It's been,
It's all good.
Cool. Yep. It's been a great day. We finally got through all the renovations and our refresh week at the Kava Bar.
Good.
Pretty cool that Ryan gave me a little kind of leeway on the leash there to do some management stuff and help reface and decide what was going up in terms of new promotionals and some of the renovations and stuff. So it feels nice to have a decent hand in changing the look of that bar, getting the vibes a little different. Yeah. Get to pick a new happy hour and make the flyers for that. So it's sick. You know, I get to see a little bit of my own personal work now up on the walls. Awesome. Yeah, it's pretty sick that got through
mine
that.
Mine too. I took the photos.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
And I also saw myself on a Polaroid up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. It's been a rough couple weeks getting to this point, but now that we're through it and I'm not doing 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's
that's really nice.
That was a rough one.
How about you, brother?
Been all right. Made a bid on a job. I had like my first sales call for my company.
Nice. What was it?
A bakery with shout out Brian. That's why I was talking about that the other day. I did my first sales call basically on it, and it went well. He at least like said that, you know, it was a reasonable offer.
What is it for, to do like advertisements for them?
No, it'd be, this particular job would be to do photography and videography. For like, they're just to spice up their website, basically.
Got it.
And it would be, there's quite a bit of stuff involved with it. Anyway, time flies when you're doing drugs. We're in a little bit more of a somber talk of an episode this week. Mm-hmm. We did lose, I'm not sure I want to use the word friend, but we lost someone that was in part of the community, and definitely someone that had been a friend at one point in time. Yep. His name is Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about him without his name on an episode prior to this. Yeah. And it's a sad time, man. It's real sad that, you know, and especially under the circumstances on which he passed.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sad time in that regard. If there was ever a person... And I guess I'll just come out and say that he killed himself. It wasn't anything. He had a suicide note on Facebook, and I had known what was going on with him for a while in terms of like his suffering health.
Yeah.
And I'm not the type of guy that believes suicide's the answer.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if I saw another way out for that guy. Like, to get to a troop state of, like, he's recovered and, like, now he doesn't have this fucking bum leg and now he doesn't have this, like, fucking thing eating inside of his stomach and, like...
Yeah. I mean, you know? I see it kind of invert. Growing up, you know, one of the things I learned from some coaches is that, like, the standard is perfection, but progress should be contentment. And I think suicide kind of hits a similar idea in the inverse.
Sure.
Of that, like, you know, you can never say it's okay, but there are times when it's understandable.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. And that's where we're at. I'll never say I condone it or that I would even suggest it. I can't say I'm a fan of MAID programs or the assisted suicide programs. I understand it, though.
No.
I'm not ignorant to the fact that, I mean, sometimes dude had... Sometimes it's just out of hands, dude. Yeah, and, like, the amount of pain... I'll put it this way. I wouldn't have made it this far if I was going through it.
That's exactly what I thought.
I wrote
in a journal of mine pretty recently before he passed that I wrote something along the lines of, like, if he were to come, like, make a recovery and do what he's dreaming of doing, his recovery story is far greater than that of even of my own.
Yep.
And, like, if I were to do the same. And, like, he, because man, that guy was shit out of luck. Yeah. And it wasn't a lot, you know. I try not to say anything. I've been trying not to say anything, like, negative about him. Even something that could be perceived as negative, because I don't think I really have anything negative to say about him. Just in terms of, at the end, it was a little bit rough. It was definitely a lot of bit rough. But it was with, like, you know, with his drug use and his, you know, suffering mental state. Right. But he had actually talked to me about, when he was staying with me, he talked about committing suicide. And he was like, I don't know, man, if things keep up like this, I just don't see the point in sticking around out here anymore. And I said to him, I said, like, hey, man, like, I know that whatever I say is not going to change your mind on that. But, like, I hope you know that, like, you got a lot of people around you that are trying to help you and a lot of people that love you out here. Mm-hmm. I think it's something along the lines of what I said. And he basically was like, I don't think that's true.
Well, the sad part is, I think that the reality for situations like that, and I think it's probably best we give a little bit of context here. Dakota had a ton of health problems, like very severe, bum leg, and had ended up fully crippled and disabled, and couldn't work the jobs he was working before, was trying to shift career fields, had, because of...
Spent a lot of time, according to him, busking on the side of the road up in Golden.
Yeah, and because of a litany of issues between, like, issues...
Kid was talented on the guitar. Kid was talented on the guitar and singing, too. Real fucking... The kid was... Had, like, he been able to get past all this these issues and not have all the self-destructive stuff, the kid could have had a career as a musician.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
But regardless, because of his inability to work the same way, he ended up homeless.
Yeah.
And then started getting his stuff stolen from him. And so he was just in a position that I think was so deep in the hole that, like, Travis bought him groceries. And, you know, I gave him money a few times to try and help him out. And you let him stay on the couch. But for a dude like that, what you need isn't enough to make it to tomorrow.
No.
You need something that's going to stop you from the spiral you're in. Yeah. And the only people that could have helped him with that, at least per conversations I had with him, was his family and going back to Virginia and staying with his dad again. And then that got blocked by his stepmom or dad's girlfriend, whoever it was. So he ended up out here.
Sucks, man.
And then he's out. Yeah, and then he's out on the streets. Because, again, it's like, all right, cool. You're homeless. You're getting your stuff stolen from you every day. You finally get accepted into a bachelor program for cybersecurity. Your laptop gets stolen because you're sleeping on the streets. The rest of your electronics get damaged because the sprinklers go off in the grass you're sleeping in. And where do you go from that? It's like, yeah, somebody might give you grocery money. What are you going to fucking say? There's no way out.
No.
You know, and that's the part that is just like, fuck, how do you even comprehend that?
You don't.
No.
Unless you've been in the same situation and gotten out. And I have not been in that situation.
No, and I'll be honest, like, I don't know if I ever talked about it on here, but not crazy long ago, I watched my father's, like, suicide note all the way through.
Right, you did talk about that.
About a 45-minute video.
Just a little bit,
And watching that, quite frankly, as fucked up as it is, made me lose a lot of respect for him. And
really?
Yeah, greatly changed my view.
Did you happen to read his, Dakota's?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And the difference is staggering. You know, like, I can't in any way justify what my father did to the level of what where Dakota was at. You know, no, like the, Dakota was fighting his ass off. My dad was stuck in his own mental battles and a lot of, like, egotistical shit.
Yeah.
And seeing somebody go out that way who's been fighting that long has kind of, like, again, even probably further shifted my perspective on what happened with me growing up.
Right.
And the kind of, like, woefulness I had regarding what happened. I'm like, oh, he was just so fucked up. Couldn't get out of it. It's like, no, he had a chance. You know, and I've been thinking about that a lot recently.
Where does that take you in your mind?
I don't know.
You haven't really thought
that through yet? I just don't know. Again, kind of like my own personal view on the suicidal ideation I've dealt with for the better part of 2 decades now. The way I got out of thinking about that and the kind of logicking my way out of it, you know, that's a set, more objective thing. Like, how much I want to kill myself is something that changes on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That goes up and down throughout the seasons of my life. And, if you know, during certain cycles, I get pretty low. But it's not an option. So I never think about it too much because I know it's just not there. Like, I got to keep fighting. And I got my brother and sister and the stuff that she's dealing with now. It's like I have to be a support piece. And I have the capability to help out the people I love. So if I don't use that, then, you know what I mean? It's just a self-defeating argument. It's like, if I don't try and help them, well, then my life's not worth anything and I should kill myself. But if I kill myself, I can't do it. So the only option is to try.
Well,
to stick around long enough to
do as much as I can.
Right. Bingo. And so, I mean, no matter where I've gone thinking about the retrospective aspects of my father's passing,
right,
doesn't change much about my own current state of identity. Just changes my relationship with the idea of
that's one of those things that is a sign of maturity.
Yeah, I don't idealize it as much. Like, I used to think, oh, he's, you know, just about how much I love my dad. And I still do. He's a great guy to the people around him. But I felt bad for him, and I pitied him for a long time. And I think that in some way led to me pitying myself when I was going through really bad bouts of depression.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it is so hard. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I had seen him take the easy way out, and my brain went to that.
Yeah.
But now as I get older, I go, no, wait a minute. That's what led you to that? That's fucking nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, his stuff was a lot about, he talked about never being able to get out of debt because he was always behind on payments. He had $7,000. He had a $13,000 bonus 5 days after he died.
Yeah.
Said he would never climb out of debt in his life. Boom. Stick around for another week. You're there, buddy. You know.
That's actually a very important lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same thing of the digging the, like that like meme thing of the digging for diamonds and the guy gives up one step, you know, one step.
99% of gamblers quit before they hit big.
Yeah, sure.
That one. But yeah, I agree. It was one of those like, oh dude, you just don't know what life has in store for you. He also made $130,000 a year or something like that. Maybe 110, 120. He had 7,000 in debt. His rent was $850. He drove a 99 Accord.
Hmm.
Like, he had the ability to pay it off. He had the money in his accounts. He just was bad at making payments. Was there something else? I don't know. I wonder to this day, like, was he hitting strip clubs or something? Where's your money going, bro? But I mean, he had stuff. It was just, I think he was really bad at the nickel dime spending. He had a lot of electronics and he bought a lot of really nice guitar shit. Like, he had a fucking 1,000 amps and different pedals and all these boards he'd plug his shit into. And all of that was very pricey.
Yeah, that is a very pricey shit.
So it may have been that. He had 5 coffee pots when we cleaned his house out.
Okay.
And I say that in the sense of, like, you know, my mother always warned me about, like, the way he spent was nickel and diming everything. $30 here, $50 there, $100 there, $200 there.
Yeah, that's my problem too.
And then he has no money. And I'm like that too, yeah. So I get that.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, his other reasons were, oh, well, you know, nothing will ever change, and I can't keep doing this, and I'm so frustrated all the time. And he was very resentful towards my mother, and he was extremely resentful towards his parents. And it reminded me of something a friend of mine had told me years ago, which was life doesn't happen to you, and it definitely doesn't happen for you. It happens. No, it
happens.
And how you interpret that is up to your own.
It is.
And it, but the world goes on. And for him, he took everything as happening to him.
Yeah. And that's...
And then you meet the egomaniac for everything happens for them.
How old is he when he passed?
Probably 43, 44, right around there. Yeah, because he was... Let me think about this real quick. I think he was 6 years younger than my mother. So 52, 60. No, he might have been right around 40.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he was right about 40 when he died.
Okay. Yeah.
Just crazy to think that, like, you know, I don't know, this may be a weird thing to bring up, but, like, for me now at the age I'm at, like, a decade and change older than you, you know, it's like, it's not, I have friends.
Just about a decade almost.
Yeah, I have friends that are in their 40s now that are that age. And to me, because I was so young, he seemed so much older, you know, but, like, now I have friends and I'm like, oh, I get it a little bit more.
Right, yeah.
That, like, you know, growing up, you see parents is so far separated from childhood that there's an expectation of maturity, knowledge, and insight that is just doesn't work that way. You know, you're learning through the rest of your life. 30s and 40s aren't like this state of enlightenment, you know.
Rarely.
So I always thought he understood it, but now I have friends that are going through the same shit, and we're all still kind of figuring it out. And it is weird to then ponder, I don't know if this would come across disrespectful, but like, if Dakota sticks around.
Right.
Like, what happens if he gets to 30 or 40? I guess maybe he gets out of it, but do you ever really? Well, do you break that cycle if you've been at that low? I don't know.
I don't know, man. And, like, I don't know.
Homelessness is so brutal.
It's a tough one, man, because, like, it's like, I mean, obviously, I have to walk. I walk home from the bar pretty often, from the cover bar pretty often, and it's past that fucking green belt, which was where a part of where he was staying a little bit, I believe. And you know, like, that whole area is just. I see people over there. I see them. I know what fucking fentanyl smells like, and like. Smell it all the time over there.
And it's a war zone, too. Like,
it's pretty bad, dude.
Infighting and the theft. And
the theft. And
fighting
the...
over space. And you're dealing with fucking legit insane people every day. Yeah, I don't mean that disrespectfully. No, but like people
a lot
are...
of the homeless problem is a mental health issue.
Yeah, and they're fully out of touch. So, like, every day, the people that you're surrounded by the most are people who've lost touch with reality. And then you're supposed to keep your grips on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't process that. I don't know what that's like. I'm genuinely too privileged and too far removed to understand what that would end up, how that would impact me, you know?
Well, the only time I've ever not had a place to stay was I was in California, and it was, you know, Northern California, and I had a car.
Mm-hmm.
It was easy.
You stayed out of your car?
I mean, just not even for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know. And I had a job, and it's fine.
The other thing I camped
a lot is in the middle of summer. Mm-hmm.
The other thing I can't process is that for me to become homeless would require so many things to happen.
Yeah.
Just because of how extensive the support for my family is.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, even though I'm not close with my aunts and uncles, like, I haven't talked to them in years.
Sure.
I know that if I went homeless tomorrow, they'd reach out and they'd give me the money to get back on my feet, or they'd say, hey, come stay with me. I've got an extra bedroom. Like, my whole family's like that. Sure. You know, like, my mom would have to turn her back on me. My brother and sister would have to tell me to go fuck myself. And then every aunt and uncle I have would be like, yeah, I don't want you. I mean, I've seen my aunt. I have cousins that went homeless when they were younger. My aunts took them in.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't close.
Sure.
But they were like, oh, yeah, so-and-so. They're fucking.
Well, I have so many people that would... If my friends
wouldn't give me a spot to stay, like, it takes so much. And
dude, if you were homeless,
that's the thing,
like,
is I can't imagine losing that couch. Yeah, literally.
Let's get a bigger couch.
Get a day bed, dog.
No, I'd say, like, come stay in here. We just need a bigger couch.
I'd have to lose my car.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's like, It's like you have to lose quite a bit of shit to, in order to get to that point.
And I can't imagine what it's like to not have that network. And especially for him, because it's not like his family's dead.
No.
It's just that they won't take him.
From what I understand, he did... I was going to mention this earlier. I did a podcast with him.
Yeah.
And I think I have it still on my hard drive. The only reason I never released it was because it was going to take a lot to edit. He's sound shaking quality. The microphone a lot.
Yeah.
It was before we got the mic arms. And it was the audio quality was going to take a lot to edit. So I am probably going to sit through and edit that.
Yeah.
And maybe release it. And yeah. It I forgot what else I was going to say about that, but yeah, it's a tough one, man, because it's, you know, and I think, you know, anybody that's, you know, either listening to this or does in the future that is dealing with a loss of someone they either loved or
cared about.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been in the unfortunate situation of not being in this position of being in this position quite a bit before,
mm-hmm.
of losing somebody that, you know, I was either a loved one or someone you cared about. Don't know how many. Couldn't begin to count.
Yeah.
But the ones that meant a lot to me, I named things after. And I have characters in all of my stories named after one of my friends, Malik. I mentioned mm-hmm. him before. And then, of course, Amy, my dog, which I have a whole other theory about, by the way, recently. Yeah.
We talked about that recently.
We talked about the ChatGPT thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that shit's wild.
Photo.
That shit's wild. But I think
we talked about that on the pod last week.
I think we did. But yeah.
It's especially hard to grieve for somebody who's chosen to walk away.
And I think that, yeah, absolutely. And that is not, I've definitely dealt with this same thing before. There was an old roommate of mine that killed himself and a couple other people too in my life. But that's the most one that I think of now. His name was Flynn. I think the way to process things like this, just coming from someone who's done it a lot, is I think you sit there and kind of you sit with it. You don't try to avoid it. And you, if you have people that you shared them with, you talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You spend the time thinking about the happy times that you guys spent together. Anything, whether it's anything from as much as like with Malik and I, we would, you know, always be riding in our homie Brooks's truck with, you know, Scotty and a couple other people, and we'd just be jamming to music. Or like any, you know, a number of times with Malik. But the other part of it is I think you listen to music that reminds you of them. You listen to, you know, you connect. You connect with what is left of them.
Yeah, you try and let their memory live on a little bit.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought about last night, actually, that gives me some hope and solace for my own life. But, you know, all the people that I've lost or lost touch with, like the best version of them always lives on in my mind.
Right.
Like my dad spiraled and then he's gone.
Right.
The best version of him and the happiest moments of him always live on with me.
Well, that's good.
And I'll tell my kids that one day.
Right.
And I'll tell them the stories and it'll live on with them.
Right.
And at some point it'll kind of fizzle. But there is that lasting and kind of lingering effect that the rock's under the water, but the ripples are still there.
Right.
And I don't know. I think I maybe deal with it a little differently. I'm a little bit more nihilistic with loss, I guess, but sure. For me, I talked about it with a few people, and I really struggle with the processing thing, because one of the things he said in that note was, you know, don't let people in their social circles say I don't want help.
Right.
I wanted help, I just couldn't get it, and I wasn't worth the resources, and that fucking crushed me. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a tough one to hear too, because especially from the perspective of someone who tried to help him.
Yeah, and one of the things that happens with it is that I go back and forth then. I did this with my dad. I did this with a couple other friends I lost. It's like, well, I feel bad. But now is that pity? am I now undermining exactly what he had said I was doing by making it seem like he was worse off? And then I just do this flip. And every time where I end up is just that it just sucks. And as I talked to a few people in the community who are really upset because he had spiraled, and if anyone listened to the last episode, we talked about, or maybe two episodes ago.
It was two.
You know, we talked about kind of that he had devolved so much from the person we knew, and he had, you know, kind of started acting erratic, and there wasn't much justification, at least in the space of a business, to have him around. And even as a friend, there are certain limits you have to have for your own boundaries.
Yeah.
But, you know, with that spiral, there's a lot of people in the community after he passed that felt like we failed him and let him down.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And one of the things I kept telling people when they go, oh, dude, I just feel like, you know, we kind of had a hand in it. I'm like, look, the way I feel, and I don't mean for anyone to be upset by this or feel burdened, but when somebody in a community or friend group commits suicide, it's everybody's fault and nobody's responsibility.
Yeah.
Everybody has a hand in it. It's just like any death. Yeah. It's like, well, if I hadn't gotten in the car that day, well, if we hadn't had an argument and that made her leave the house and go get in a wreck, and if I hadn't done this and if I hadn't done that, I mean, you could have changed it.
And you could have.
Any of us could have changed it. I told a story recently I haven't talked about in a long time. And I don't know, maybe I talked about this in one of the early episodes, but, you know, I had a moment with my father before he passed, about 2 weeks out. My brother and I got into an argument. I got my dad fucking jacked him up by the coat rack. I grabbed my dad and pulled it off, and he like pulled his hand back like he was gonna fucking light me up, you know. And then he just got this really dead look in his eyes. I've never seen it in a person since. But just like immediately I was like, oh fuck, like he just looked broken, you know.
Yeah.
I see him just kind of fall apart, and he let his fist go, you know, and he just walked upstairs. He didn't say a word. And then I went into my room, and I was on that little bottom bunk, and I'm thinking, and I had this thought of, I need to go tell him I love him and make sure he doesn't ever hurt himself.
Wow.
And then I went, immediately after that, I went, it's so stupid. He's a grown man. He doesn't need a kid to tell him he's fine. He's not going to do anything. He's fine. You don't need to say that. You just look stupid. And I was really insecure about it, and I didn't want to tell him because I just felt like it would seem dumb for me as a kid to go tell a grown man that. And so I didn't say it.
Yeah.
And it's like if his 12-year-old son had come up to him while he's thinking about suicide, because he had mentioned in the video he'd been planning it for a bit.
Yeah.
If his 12-year-old son comes up and says, hey, like, you're not going to hurt yourself, right? Does that prolong him? Does that give him more of an opportunity? Probably. Probably would have kept him around. But it's not my responsibility to make sure that he doesn't walk away. That's on him.
100%.
And it took me a long time to grapple with that.
If the last, you know, it's the same type of thing. If, you know, not to, that's a pretty heavy moment. But, you know, Dakota and mine's last interaction was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not trying to sit here and think that had it been good, had I said, like, you know, something different, had I reacted different, had things been, you know, had things ended any differently.
Yeah. You know? I mean, fuck, dude, I banned him.
Yeah, I know.
I banned him the week he killed himself. That was the last community he had. And I just couldn't, I had, you know, it was one of those positions of, I don't think if you let me play that situation 1,000 times over that I'd make a different decision.
I don't even think you, it's not that, I don't think, I mean, obviously, like, look, if you know that's the end game of this, you make a different decision, but
right,
it's at the
exactly.
same time, but it's like, you can't know that.
No, if I had somebody who was coming around who had spiraled on drugs and had, you know what I mean, clearly devolved in
Patrick.
Their mental state, I'm going to say, hey, I can't have you around this business. It's not good. People get uncomfortable. The women get uncomfortable. Like, it's just, I don't think you're a bad person. But I tell it every time. But at the end of the day, I still did it. And then right after that, the only community, the only place he has to go to that isn't the streets is gone. And he kills himself 3 days later. It's like, I can't pretend that I didn't have a hand in that.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily, I mean, hand is in terms of role played. That's different than you know, it's these are things he was doing to himself. He was coming around, he was talking to himself, he was fucking fucked up on drugs, he was all sorts of thing. And it's like, look, that does, I hate to, like, you know, kind of put that on his name, but unfortunately that is the reality of the situation. Is
agreed, but it's like saying the executioner doesn't have a role in the death of an inmate. They do. Maybe they're not responsible for that.
You're not the one swinging the axe.
They're not the judge. No, but I think, at least in my own worldview, metaphorically, everyone who's around does. There's a guy I talked about, and I have talked about this for sure on the podcast. There's this dude rich in Florida, cancer doctor, and he had talked about how, like, the more he had studied cancer, the more he understood society. And that, like, everybody is their own cell. It's a fully enclosed thing. It's not inherently dependent on any other cell in the body in terms of, like, being physically linked to it.
Right.
But if a cell gets isolated, it becomes malignant, and it either dies off or it becomes cancerous.
Right.
Those are the only two options. And if it becomes cancerous, it grows and it spreads amongst itself.
Right.
It's like the counterculture of, like, you know, like the self-harm subcultures.
Sure.
Where you have these massive groups of friends that are all, like, into this very, very dark and kind of emo. So yeah. It's the school shooters. It's the chat forums about the guys in Columbine, you know?
Yep.
And it's these people that they've died the social death already.
Right.
And now that cell has become isolated from the rest, and it can't survive without its purpose. And that's people. And so it's like, again, every other cell in the body is still responsible for that cell's existence. And in the same way, I think that happens in communities too. I don't think it's anyone's responsibility to stop them.
I mean, we saw that with pitted everybody against each other.
Yeah, and then you get these really, like, polarized and kind of isolated views that lack the ability to cross the aisle. See it with politics every day.
Every day.
And it's like, once you have that isolation in a view that's so intense that it becomes opposed, now it becomes, again, kind of cancerous in a way.
Right.
And I think there's been quite a few situations where it's very sad and it's a really tough decision.
Kind of, but that's just the way that it happened. Because my experience with him cutting him off was not based on the fact that he was making my kava bar an unsafe place to be.
Right.
And, like, because, number one, it's not my fucking kava bar. Number two, I cut him off because he was starting to become unsafe to me, and I have to protect what's mine.
Yeah, I totally get it.
And, like, and then also, like, when he did eventually, when he did fucking, you know, come in the way of what I was trying to do, which is what I have a strict policy with that. If anybody that's going to come in the way of what I'm going to try to do to better myself has to go. And that's exactly what happened. And then but I'm also the same type of guy that if you come to me with an apology and you know, you're honest about it in the sense of, like, you know, or, you know, you, at the very least you show that you want to, like, repair this. And it doesn't have to be like, hey, I owe you an apology, but it's like, hey, I think we need to talk. Mm-hmm. Something like that to show that you care about the relationship enough to, like, try to fix it and understand what's going on and where went wrong. And I'm that door is always open. And
yeah, I think there are times where that can be a little more gratuitous than it needs to be as well. Like, sometimes there's a lot of people I've forgiven that I still won't speak to.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't hate you, but, you know, I just can't have you in my life. You're not healthy for me. But I do forgive you. I'm not holding a grudge. I don't want you to be wronged in any way. I still hope what's good for you finds you.
Sure.
But I can't be in contact with that. I have to set a harsher boundary.
Yeah.
Death is weird, though, because you just lose that.
Entirely.
The ability for, like, recourse. Like, it just is what it is, and it ends. And then, again, we're back to, it sucks.
It just sucks, dude.
There's nothing else. And then you just have to find a way to vent that pain and frustration properly.
Yeah, it's
because I know you've dealt with it. We've talked about kind of the friends we've had pass.
Yeah,
and every time it sucks.
Never gets any less shitty.
No. And
yeah,
I think that so much of grief and, like, the kind of sorrow we go through after is just this unavoidable ache. Like, as a therapist phrased to me, like, you know, there's never a time you're going to look back on the death of a parent or a loved one and feel good about it. It will always suck. When I'm 70, I'll think about my dad's death and it'll suck.
Yeah.
It's never going to be like, oh, cool. And you just have to carry that weight now. And you got to find a way to try and alleviate it in some capacity. I do agree. I think that sometimes kind of lightening it and finding ways to connect with the person you lost and their memory is the easiest way to deal with it. I think that's a big part of the release is...
Well, you have still to then release it.
Yeah, you have like something to pour your love into.
The day we all found that out, I put on, which I'll go ahead and say my song of the week this week. It's another Rattlesnake Milk song. What do you know? But this particular one called Lonesome. And it's just, it's a fucking really heavy song. I can't tell if it's about suicide, but it seems to be something about something along those lines. Death of somebody. Mm-hmm. I think it might be about suicide. And it just like, I put it on in the bar the day that happened. And I was crying. I'll say that much. I was definitely crying just because it was just like with the mix of the music with the what had happened, it was just like, shit, man.
Yeah.
I went to the place he killed himself.
Where was it?
Off of Dartmouth on behind the Chick-fil-A, three houses down, in the alleyway behind the Sunflowers.
How'd you know?
I'll tell you after, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
Finding out about someone's passing is always so surreal.
Yeah.
There's only been twice in my life where it made sense, and that was with my grandparents. Because I watched, both on my mom's side, I watched both of them just suffering.
Yeah.
And getting worse and worse and worse. And it was like, it's any day now.
Yeah.
And it was very predictable. But the other grandparents I had, the other family members,
right,
friends, every time it's just like, no.
Yeah.
And when, you know, somebody had told me the night before about it.
Yeah.
The night before you texted me. And he said, you know, I think Dakota died. And I was like, no. I don't think that's right. That can't be right.
Yeah.
It's like, it sounds like bullshit. I think, that's not right. I saw him like 2 days ago.
Right.
And I went to sleep thinking it was bullshit. And I talked to a few people about it. I was like, if it's true, it's fucking horrible. Like,
yeah.
That would suck so bad.
Yeah.
The next day I woke up to your text and I was like, damn.
Yep.
Actually, I didn't wake up. I was still awake, but same point.
Same difference.
Yeah. But yeah, that discovery process is something that every time, I mean, I don't know if it's the same for everyone else, but for me, every single time it's the same feeling. Like it's a kind of numbness. It feels like you're stuck in like yelling in a tunnel, like just that reverberation, you know, of sitting there waiting for the noise to settle.
Like, sure.
I just, every single time when I found out my dad died, I was sitting in a room with family members. Everybody was there just sitting down and told me, and it just sat there for hours. When my little brother's football coach, he was a really good friend of ours, we hung out at his house a bunch. We found out it was another one. I was like, no. Rob? No. Can't be right. You know, and it just like finding a moment of clarity takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there waiting for it to make sense. And with a lot of them, for me at least, sometimes, some of them never do. Yeah, I don't know that I've ever fully accepted a lot of the people that have passed. Like my grandparents on my dad's side, I never saw them.
That to me proves that I'm jaded to this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't feel that. Unfortunately. It's just happened too many times.
You're not shell-shocked anymore?
Never. It'd be one thing if it was like, you know, someone really close to me that was like a part of my everyday life where it was like, my parents or my whatever the case is, that would be a whole different thing. I think, But at the same time, like, it's just happened so many times that at this point, I have a weird like thought of what death is. And I think that it's, at least according to, like, you know, some people, is that it's like, it's just a part of fucking life, dude. It is what it is. It's not necessarily the end, but it is the end of this. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. You can't change it. You might as well make friends with the fucking being that is death. I've personified death at a bunch of different times in stories, and it's, you know, it's really truly a thing.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think of death more as the Anubis type, or do you think of it as the after itself?
What do you mean by Anubis?
Like, Anubis led you. Like, you meet Anubis, Anubis judges your heart against the feather and then sends you down whatever path, right? Like, it's a very neutral, it's not cold, it's not, you know, unforgiving, it's just there. And it's, all right.
What was the other option?
Like, whether or not death is the, I think some of the other personifications of the Grim Reaper I found is that, like, it's taking him with you. You know, like, that's where you're going. You're going to be with death, so to speak.
That's not how I feel. I think it's more the first one. Because just based on my own near-death experience, which obviously I couldn't make much of, just based on the afterlife experience I had, which I've talked about a couple times on here, of not, like, being in an afterlife, but just seeing a light at the end of the tunnel with a figure at the end of it. And, you know, I couldn't tell you what the fuck that is. But, you know, I do think that, I think it's probably more, you know, I think it's probably closer to the Anubis thing, because it's, did you do good in this life weighing your heart against the feather? And if you did, then you get to pass on to the next one. And if you did not, then you should have to do this one over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I don't know, man. It's
weird, though. One of the things I think about still is whether or not, like, does suicide nullify the good? Like, does the harm that causes and choosing to give up early reset the progress you made? Like, would you then restart, or do you still get to count the good?
Hmm.
It's something I grappled with for a really long time after my dad died, especially because I was more religious then. It's like, well, he did a lot of good, and can he still go on, or is it he just cursed himself for eternity now? You know, I don't.
Well, I tend to disagree with that.
Obviously,
entirely.
I don't think about that in the same way, but still, the, like, you know, is there any way to offset it? Because for some people, the suffering is just so great.
Yeah.
Like, how can I say you made the wrong decision?
Dakota? Yeah. No, I felt the same way.
And even with, you know,
how could I tell him? How it would be selfish of me to say
You should stick around, dude. Yeah. And that's even in spite of everything I said about the way I feel about
it like
now.
You, yeah.
I don't know what he went through. It might have been hell every day for that dude.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
And just to clarify that last comment, it's selfish because I would only be telling him that because if he's really in that bad a shape to where he's like, dude, look, he wasn't like a suicidal type person.
No,
he was a fighter as fuck, dude.
Yeah. He wasn't asking for shit.
No, he wasn't asking.
Begging people for stuff.
He was trying to make everything happen, but it's just like, it couldn't get out of it. He couldn't get out of it, dude. And it's just like, I tried to give him some words of encouragement and just try to tell him, like, hey, man, like, look, we love you, and I'm sorry that you're going through this. And it's like, it just, that's all you can do.
It's worth nothing when you're there.
It's worth nothing.
Because, I mean, even...
It's worth nothing when you're there, dude. It's worth nothing at all, because it's like, when you're at the bottom of, like, even your mental state, it's the bottom. You're just fucking like, dude, I hate myself.
That was me and my lows. Where somebody
every second of the day,
somebody tries to uplift you, and it's like, brother, I don't need positivity. I need change, and I don't have that right now. It's a long ways out, and I don't even know if it's coming.
Yeah.
You telling me happy things. And I'm trying to think of one thing I saw the other day, but it was just regarding like hope being the currency of the human life.
Okay.
It's the way we're able to like put ourselves towards new decisions and
sure
new habits and okay, new routines yeah, yeah, yeah. with the idea that it will eventually return to us in full.
Right.
And without hope, we slowly diminish.
Ooh. That's Nerf. Sorry.
You should clarify.
Snuff. Tobacco.
Yeah. Just a little.
Tobacco. Tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I only do tobacco, cocaine.
Attaboy.
Yeah. Diet cocaine. Anyway. Yeah. Hey, what were you saying?
I forget, but there's one Sorry. Thing I'd like to talk about. No, you're good.
Yeah, go ahead.
I it was one of the things I spoke to a couple of people about, like I said, that were very upset and felt a little guilty
about
the nature of the situation. Do you believe that a situation like his, like, should we have done differently?
No.
Should the community have, like, in an ideal world, I'm not saying based on the circumstances we have now, I'm saying, like, if everyone was on the same page, would that situation change? Like, would we be more supportive? Because at the same time, and one of the things we've talked about before is that when you go to rehab, they say, hey, you got to stop enabling. Like, if you're the person on the outside, it's like, if they die, they die. You got to, this is the only way they have a chance. You got to walk away.
Yeah.
But in a perfect world, is that what happens still? Or do we,
in a perfect
does
world,
the community give him more support?
Does in a perfect world, that doesn't exist.
Well, I guess more in, like, perfect action of...
I mean, like... number one, I am pretty interested to hear who was talking about that, like, that we could have done more. We don't have to talk about it on this, but... how do I say this? In response to whoever was saying we could have done more as a community and that we should have done more as a community and that we shouldn't have kicked him out and there's all that type of stuff, it's just like...
that if we just as a community talked to him more and we sat down, instead of people being uncomfortable, they just had a conversation with the guy and talked him through it.
I mean, I did, man.
I know, and I my thing is I don't know if that's enough.
No, it's not, man. It's really not, because it's just, like, I...
Can we say we did all we could?
Look, man, like, maybe not everybody can say they did all they could. I can say, at the very least, maybe not did all I could, but I fucking tried with that kid.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people also did. And the same uniform thing that all of them will say is that kid couldn't get out of his own way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just kept on. Anytime that something good would come, he would start down that road. And then either something would happen to him or he would bring it upon himself. Or it was...
Yeah, because long before he had the health issues, he still had all the other shit he was dealing with and the drug problems and
crack.
Going in and down in and out of that. Like, it wasn't hey, everything's perfect, and then you just got fucked over. But I have a lot of, the older I get, the more empathy I have for how that struggle goes.
Yeah. It's,
because sometimes it just feels unavoidable for certain people.
Yeah.
From a sociology perspective, it's just like, if you grew up with two alcoholic parents, your chances of being an alcoholic are incredibly high. You still have, I can still say, oh, well, you made the personal choice to be an alcoholic. But from a standing away, a viewpoint that offers a little compassion, it's like, yeah, I mean, you were bound to end up there. That's what you learned was the way to do it. And for someone like him, I don't know what his background was like. It was
pretty bad.
Yeah, but I can only imagine.
From what I understand, his mother was a schizophrenic.
Yeah, and from what I've talked to him about, I can't imagine that there's many other pathways or parallel universes where that dude doesn't end up fucked mentally.
Based on where he was, where, you know, nurture got him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Look, like, I do get the why people would think that, like, I wish we could have just done more for him. But you can only help someone as much as they're going to help themselves.
Yeah, and I love the mindset. I just hate the guilt.
Like, yeah, I agree.
I really respect people who are like, man, I wish we had done more for him. And the person that I mentioned, I have a lot of respect for the way he phrased it, because
genuinely good person.
Yeah, and what he said was, I hope that this allows us to do it for the next one. That the next time somebody's in this position, people go a little more out of their way to talk to them.
That's a great way to say it.
And I don't like the feeling of, like, man, everybody let him down. Because that's why I talked about it. Even if you get everyone to do all they can, does it change this outcome? Or does it just prolong it? I think that's most likely the reality. I think it still ends up happening at some point.
I think it just prolongs it until it gets worse.
What he needed is something nobody could offer. Only a couple people. And it was nobody in our community.
He's resting now
is my
first thought. That was my first thought when I heard it was he's resting now.
Yeah. And one of the things that I keep saying to myself is, like, he couldn't find the peace he wanted, and I hope it found him, you know?
I hope. I mean, man, I just hope that he's not. I hope then whatever next existence he has, it doesn't include what this one did.
Yeah, hopefully it's a little easier.
I hope it's a lot easier. I hope it's, he's born as, the queen's dead. I was going to say the queen's corgis. One of the queen's corgis, dude. That's the best existence of all time. Yeah. It's a tough one, man.
Yeah, man.
But yeah. And if anybody that's listening to this, or anybody that's in the community that New Dakota needs to talk, Jay and I are here.
We're here, buddy.
It sucks, dude, but it's one of those things that it's unfortunately something people do.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
It's stopping tomorrow. You just gotta deal with it as it comes.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the first and won't be the last. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get out of here on try to be on a high note, I guess. Let's say a good memory of Dakota we have.
The last time I remember him doing karaoke, he came up in a wheelchair and got up. And then I believe it was Still Tipping.
Yeah.
By Mike Jones.
Yeah.
And just ripped that on the mic for 4 minutes. And that was fucking awesome.
That's dope.
Just seeing him up there fucking spitting bars.
That is dope.
I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure he let the word fly a few times, too.
I bet he did. I absolutely bet he did. Yeah.
That was good.
I was sitting here in the studio, actually, right here where we're sitting right now. It was actually... I think it was... I forget when this was, but I think we were sitting in here. And Madge and I were sitting here, and I think we were talking about the film before we started working on it. And he plucked one of the guitars off the rack and just started jamming. And I had heard him play before, but he was just like it wasn't, you know, you heard him jam in the bar, but he would like play quieter than he normally would. But this one was like, there was nothing holding him back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just fucking playing heat, man. Some heat. And it was impressive. And then he stopped for a second. He was like, sorry, guys. I just got into it. And Madge was like, dude, don't be sorry. Keep going. And he just smiled and kept playing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, man. He really had some talent on that thing.
Hopefully there's a guitar for him on the other side.
I imagine there will be.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll get out of here on that.
Rest Thanks in peace, everyone Dakota. Who's listening. If you're struggling with suicide, please call the hotline. Talk to us.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody.
Yeah, I can't remember where I put the number.
Fucking listen to the Logic song. We'll tell you.
That's that number. But yeah. If you're thinking about it, call or email us. That's malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. Instagram at malfunctionjunctionpodcast. We also have a Substack now under my Substack. That is the newsletter for the Malfunction Junction podcast. Mm-hmm. It's under, I'll put the Substack in there. It's at Andrew R. Edwards. And I think it might be Andrew R. Edwards Zero. Fuck, I don't remember. Anyway. Whoa. 56. Oh, I'll remember that. Yeah, I'm going to get that going with some writing stuff about just in general, and also a general newsletter for the pod. And yeah, we got big things coming.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Keep fighting.
Absolutely. See you, everybody.